Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus, producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS. Our state has one of the highest teen birth rates in the nation, and that's been the case for many years. What does that mean to you? Today we focus on young parenthood. Did you become a parent for the first time in your teens? What challenges did you face, and were you able to overcome them? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. And we're doing something a little different today. We aren't going to debate sex education or what leads to teen pregnancy, but we are going to focus on what happens after a young person becomes a parent. Do you work with young parents? Are you a teacher, counselor, social worker, or religious leader? Are teen parents struggling in your community? And do you think it's possible for teen parents to succeed and thrive? What would make that possible? What needs to happen in communities for that to happen? Again, our number is 277-5866, outside of Albuquerque, 866-899-5866. We have Mary Louise Cooty on the line today. Mary Louise is the Grads Plus Grant Coordinator with New Mexico Grads and co-founder of No Teen Shame. That's an online campaign that addresses negative messages about teen parents. Welcome to the program, Mary Louise.
Thank you, Sarah.
And Mary Louise, this is a personal issue for you. I noticed on your Twitter profile it says, no longer a teenager, but always a teen mom. What does that mean to you?
I was very young when I had my first son. I was 16. And sort of the stigmas and stereotypes associated with young motherhood I experienced as a teenager. And now that I'm in my 30s, I still am facing some of those issues along with my children. And so I feel like I will always identify as a teen mother, as a young mother, due to those stereotypes and stigmas that have followed throughout school, healthcare, and also the measures of success that my sons have. There seems to be a direct correlation to my age and their success and my success as a parent.
And now you're working with young people who are in that situation, just getting started in their parenting.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to get to some of those, get in really into some of those issues this hour. I really appreciate you being with us. I'd also like to introduce Jen Robinson. Jen is a certified nurse midwife and certified women's health nurse practitioner at the UNM Young Women's Clinic. And Jen, are you there? We're going to wait just a moment on Jen. Mary Louise, stay with you for just a minute. Are you finding that young parents today in New Mexico are still dealing with some of the same issues that you dealt with when you became a parent?
I do think in New Mexico and nationally, there's still shame and stigma associated with parenting young. I think that New Mexico is really working hard and across the nation to reframe the language that we use when we talk about young families, and we've really focused on how to support young parents without shaming them and how to continue working to prevent teen pregnancy in a safe way without shaming or harming young families in the process.
We also have Johnny Wilson with us in the studio. Johnny is the regional coordinator of Young Fathers of Santa Fe. Johnny, welcome to the conversation.
Thanks so much.
Talk about that a little bit. Stigma, are young dads facing that as well?
Absolutely. Young fathers and young mothers face a great deal of stigma. We often hear from both young mothers and young fathers about how they'll be walking through a mall with their baby in a stroller and have to endure people making sort of inappropriate and snide comments about them, and even saying to their face, aren't you a little bit young? Is that your baby? You know, and not necessarily ill-intended, but certainly the effects on these young people, these young parents are negative.
What is the effect on them?
They feel, as Mary Louise pointed out, they feel shamed. They feel like they're, you know, they've become a parent and they want to raise their child up in a good way, which across the board these parents want to do. And they're essentially told in the community that they're not quite good enough yet.
We want to hear from you, too. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Today, our focus is young moms and dads in New Mexico. Did you become a parent at a young age? Did you have to deal with some of those negative comments that Mary Louise and Johnny are talking about from family members or from your community? How did you respond, and how did that experience change you? Join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. If you're more comfortable emailing your comments, you can email us, callinshow@kunm.org. We'd like to take a caller now. We have an anonymous caller in Albuquerque who wants to share a story. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello.
What's your experience?
I was a teen mother. I was 17 when I had my daughter. She is now in first grade. And I was lucky enough to have finished high school already, but I got through college on the lottery scholarship and did exactly what I wanted to do, which was to become a teacher. So I am now a teacher at Albuquerque Middle School.
That's great. What were some of the things that helped you to succeed and realize those goals that you had for yourself?
Well, I already knew what I wanted to do when I graduated from high school, so that was helpful. But having the lottery scholarship was one of the biggest things for me, because without it, that and Pell Grants that I received, I don't think I would have been able to make it through school.
Mm. And if you encounter young people today who are young parents, is there any particular advice that you give them?
Don't let it stop any of your dreams, because you can really accomplish anything. And I think that the drive to make it through school and to become something was even greater. I have a lot of friends that graduated here from a good school and still messed up in college, lost their lottery, you know, just kind of messed around in college. And I think that having my daughter gave me a really good motivation to keep going and make it happen.
That's great. Well, congratulations. We wish the best to you and your daughter.
Thank you.
I'd also like to bring in now Denicia Cadena, Policy and Cultural Strategy Director at Young Women United, a grassroots group based in Albuquerque that advocates for young women of color and young parents. Welcome, Denicia.
Good morning, Sarah.
Denicia, part of the work that you do at Young Women United is to advocate for young parents to address some of this stigma. Why is that important for the community building that you're doing?
So, Sarah, you know, important research proves that the age someone becomes a parent doesn't determine their economic future. So for too often, young parents, we've been told, cost our state and our nation millions of dollars. And they base those figures on young people not being able to graduate high school and therefore not being able to provide for our family. And at Young Women United, we really think that it's important that all young people have an economic future, whether they're parents or not, and that our school systems and our state should work to support people in achieving their dreams and providing a healthy future for their family.
Mary Louise, tell us a little bit. You work with New Mexico Grads. That's a program that serves pregnant and parenting teens at 27 sites around the state. What kind of services do you offer to help young people when they're still finishing school?
We work with young fathers and young mothers in schools, and so we have about 27 school districts going on 29 this school year. And the services we provide, they receive in-class curriculum, and it's 4 credit towards high school graduation. And they also receive case management services, which include young father support, college and career readiness, early childhood infant mental health, as well as connections with school-based health centers and community health centers. And we work to ensure that our grads teachers are highly qualified and trained with professional development and our young father mentors and case managers to provide services to these students both in class and in the community through collaborations around the state. There's a safe space for these young families to go, and their teachers and fatherhood mentors and case managers become their allies to the community and in the schools, and their advocates, and teach them how to also become their own advocates.
We will talk more about schools in just a moment. We're going to bring in Jen Robinson. If you want to call in and talk about being a young parent and being in school, whether that's something you're experiencing right now or something that you've already been through and you have some advice to share or some comments that you want to share with us today on the show, you can join us by calling 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, 866-899-5866. You can also send us a tweet. We're at KUNM News. Jen Robinson is a certified nurse midwife and certified women's health nurse practitioner at the UNM Young Women's Clinic. Jen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Jen, what's different about working with young moms?
Well, first off, the reason that I work with young women is because I think they're so fun to work with. And what I find is that there's a really great potential for collaboration with young women that is different than with older women because I consider them so flexible and open to change. For example, if we're talking about maybe incorporating more fruits and vegetables into their diet or being more physically active, I find that we can work in partnership a little bit better than someone who's been set in their ways for longer.
And how can you tell that you're having a positive impact on a young woman who's going to become a mom?
Well, the beauty of prenatal care is they get to come back a lot to see me. And so we established that relationship and that rapport over the course of their prenatal care. And I just keep really good notes and make sure that I check in with them every time. You know, I'm not saying I have 100% success rate with getting everyone to eat all their fruits and vegetables and make all the changes that we talk about. But I think the making sure they're coming in for their visits, following up with them, calling them between their visits, and things like that can really help.
And we've already heard a little bit about some of the stigma that young parents face, some of the challenges that they face. What can midwives, nurses, and doctors do to start that conversation in a positive way with a new patient who's going to be a young parent?
Well, I think it starts with figuring out what their perspective is rather than assuming that we know. So I try to ask a lot of open-ended questions and really figure out what their life looks like, who's supporting them, who's helping them. Is someone influencing their decisions more than they're able to have their own voice in the situation? So I think it really comes with providing a patient-centered approach with just being open.
Jen, we know you need to get started with your day and see some patients. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Are you a doctor, nurse, or midwife? We're talking about young parenthood today. What do young parents need to know in order to take care of their health needs and the health needs of their babies? And can medical providers do a better job of reaching out to young parents? What would that look like? Join us by calling 277-5866. You can also email your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. Johnny, what do you think about that? Do you think that doctors can do a better job of having conversations with young parents?
Absolutely. Jen made a wonderful point, and that was ask them where they're at. As professionals, we tend to, particularly with young people, I think we tend to make a lot of assumptions about where they're coming from and how they're experiencing the pressures. And really, these are very personal issues, and so the best place to start is asking them. I would like to make one point about, you know, the sort of negative stereotypes and about young parents. There's one that fathers experience particularly, and that is the assumption in many quarters that they're not even going to stick around. And this, of course, is a hugely damaging assumption and one that can actually result in as a barrier to young fathers to sticking around.
I wonder if there are any young fathers listening today. If you're listening and you've felt that, you felt those judgments and you want to make a comment about that or you want to add something to the conversation, join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We're going to go to a quick break right now and we'll be right back.
Edible Arrangements at 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque offers fresh fruit bouquets and chocolate dipped fruit for any occasion. EdibleArrangements.com or 505-888-0100. Edible Arrangements is a valued supporter of KUNM.
Support comes from the McCune Foundation's Media Desk NM, which tells the stories of New Mexico's nonprofits. Media Desk NM seeks an experienced, dynamic leader and CEO. For details, please visit MediaDeskNM.com/opportunities.
Support comes from the Santa Fe Community Foundation, presenting a discussion on church-state separation Saturday, October 3rd, 7:30 p.m. at the James A. Little Theater in Santa Fe. For details, call 970-948-8255.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Thanks for joining us this morning. Our topic today is young parenthood. We're talking about what it means to be a young parent, the challenges, the opportunities, and we want to hear from folks who work with young parents. If that's you, give us a call. Join our conversation, 277-5866. Mary Louise Cudi from NM Grads. We were just talking a little bit about healthcare. Can you add something to that? You were a young parent yourself. Did you feel maybe some judgment when you were going into a doctor's office?
Well, I actually did not seek any medical care while I was pregnant. I hid my pregnancy until I went into labor.
Do you find other young women are doing that today?
I think that a lot of women are waiting quite a bit of time to access health care. I think that it is shifting with more access to school-based health centers in schools and to having more language and resources available in their community. But I do feel like there is still lower accesses for young parents to medical resources and care for themselves and their children.
Because they don't want to tell the adults in their life, their parents, their teachers, community members?
I think sometimes because they don't want to, because the stigma and shame that is associated with that, and I think sometimes they don't know who to tell. And so I think in New Mexico we've worked really hard, and in the nation we've worked really hard to try and connect young people with resources in various ways, especially through social media, which seems to be more secure and confidential for them in a way that they are more readily available themselves to access those resources.
All right. Let's go to a call now. We have Glenn in Santa Fe. What would you like to add to our conversation?
Hi. I love that you're talking about this subject. I think young people need to know that they are cared for. There are some faith-based organizations such as CareNet Santa Fe and CareNet Albuquerque, and I know in Albuquerque they have a mobile unit that is available there at UNM, and they offer support and encouragement to move forward in a pregnancy, to take aggressive responsibility for parenthood and for pregnancy, not to be frightened or shrink back or be terrified by this, but to realize that we do have a creator and that we are not some happy accident, that there are many resources available that don't necessarily come from the government, that come from public support and church support, where young people can explore the gift of having a child. And they do have resources to support the young men as well, counselors and they don't just talk philosophy or principle, but they also supply actually equipment and medical support and social support and spiritual support as well.
Glenn, thanks for your call today. I'd like to bring in now Sarah in Albuquerque. Sarah, what do you want to add?
Good morning, Sarah. I'm a teacher at New Futures School, and I just wanted to echo what I've been hearing, that early pregnancy isn't a sentence to poverty, but dropping out of high school is. And so what we do at New Futures is provide services so students who are parenting, young men and young women, can keep going to school. We have a WIC office and a nurse and a family clinic. We do have all the high school curriculum. We have AP classes and dual credit classes. We have focus on family health and early childhood literacy. And most of our graduates, 100% of our graduates, are either enrolled in college or have a job when they graduate. And that's the key to, you know, a successful life. It's not how early you have your children.
And so, Sarah, what's different in New Futures than, a student who's going to another school? What are they getting at New Futures that they wouldn't get somewhere else?
Well, it is, as I said, all the services are here on campus, and there's a culture of starting your family and promoting family here that is, you know, not necessarily the focus of a regular high school. And so they get that. They're not the only or one of the few pregnant students. Everybody is in the same boat, and we're all working towards the same goal, finishing our education.
Sarah, we appreciate hearing from you today. Thanks for calling in. Oh, did you want to add
something? One of the things we have here is a store called Dime Time, where the kids run it. They get work experience and do community service, and they take donations of gently used baby items and toddler items. And the kids asked me if I would just mention that to you.
All right. They're being good business people.
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
We have Nancy in Albuquerque. Nancy, welcome to the call-in show.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm the executive director of the New Mexico Alliance for School-Based Healthcare, and I wanted to call to just talk a little bit about how school-based health centers across our state are strongly partnered with grad programs and how they can be a critical support for expectant parenting teens and really for all young people who have access to a clinic in their schools. you know, for students who are trying to graduate high school, taking a lot of time off for healthcare appointments can be an obstacle. And while school-based health centers don't provide prenatal care, they can serve young people with primary care, with immunizations, with behavioral health care, both the young mothers and young fathers. And we really want folks to support school-based health centers and support grads programs so that these young families and the entire family that supports them can be successful in their health as well as in school.
Health's an important part of this conversation. Thanks for calling in today, Nancy.
My pleasure.
We also have Barry in Albuquerque who wants to make a comment about the medical system and supporting teen parents. Barry, what do you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm the executive director of Young Fathers, so I work with Johnny Wilson.
Hi, Barry.
I worked with Young Fathers for many years. I think the medical healthcare industry can support teen parents by just stepping in and welcoming them and asking for their opinion, as was said earlier. I think they need to be seen and their stories need to be heard and appreciated that they're trying to do a wonderful, wonderful job under really challenging circumstances. As Johnny was saying earlier, too many guys and girls are being pushed away from their innate kind of feeling and heartfelt responsibility that they feel towards their child. And there can be a pressure to give up rather than to continue. And I think if anybody comes across a teen parent, you know, try to connect them up with other services like ourselves, or even get healthcare people to get educated on how to support teen parents. We do a lot of education from the Young Fathers on different organizations on how they can support young dads and young moms in this really challenging but wonderful journey of theirs.
Barry, do you think that the conversation's changing in New Mexico? We've had a high teen pregnancy rate for a long time. Do you think there's a different approach now in saying let's work with these young people, let's provide them the services that the people are talking about today?
Yes, absolutely. I think there is. And I think, you know, you having a call-in show like this is demonstrates that.
Certainly
I think
helpful.
We've got a long way to go because, let's face it, we are one of the highest states of in teen pregnancy, and the U.S. is one of the has the highest teen pregnancy rate. So really, we're kind of New Mexico is ground zero for this issue. So we can do a lot to lead the rest of the country, but it's really down to each individual having the conversation, keeping the conversation alive, and understanding that these teens want to do the best job. They just don't know necessarily how to because they haven't had the mentoring or they haven't had a great way to see how they can progress. So I think places like grads, New Vistas, and many, many other places. But it's all about connecting and giving those all of those wraparound services so that we can actually change the next generation. Because this generation, we can support them. But really, we're all focusing on that child. So if that child comes up, then maybe they won't be a teen parent themselves, and they can plan their families as we would love everyone to do.
And if I could interject here, remember that 50% of pregnancies in the United States of all age groups are unplanned, okay? Which, by the way, is one of the worst statistics in the developed world in terms of planning families. However, what do we see and what do we assume with all adults that have an unplanned pregnancy that they intend to take to term? They rise to the occasion. They do the job, right? They try their best. The teens do the same thing. We have to, I think, as a community around these issues, we have to let go of our judgment and our shaming, and we have to approach these situations with respect, just like the idea of preventing teen pregnancy from the get-go. Respecting the teens, respecting that they're going to make their own decisions and helping them with information and content with regards to sexual health that is useful to them is what we need to provide them, not wagging a finger at them and telling them, no, you can't do whatever, right? Same thing with the parents. If you're going to become a parent, that's the journey you're on. What can we do to help you?
Denicia Cadena from Young Women United, I've heard your folks from your organization talk about this quite a bit. If parenting's hard at any age, and more support needs to be offered to parents, no matter what age they are. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely, Sarah. So as Johnny was saying, you know, teen parents have the same rates of unintended pregnancy as people any age. And at Young Women United, we work so that people of all ages have the information, access to resources that they need to make real decisions about their bodies and lives. And And that's what's critical here. And when we think about the impact of stigma and shame, it's not only on the mental health of young parents, but it's also on their future opportunities that young parents start to believe that they can't succeed in school, that they won't have a future, and that has a huge impact on what they're able to achieve.
Mm. Let's go now to Sergio in Albuquerque. Sergio, I understand you're a young father. What can you share with us about your experience?
Hi, good morning. Correct. Well, what I can share is that it has been difficult because of I've been hearing the show since this morning, correct, on Johnny and everyone else on there. Stigmas that get pointed out, you know, me and my girlfriend are currently young parents to a beautiful baby daughter of a year old. We do walk around the mall, and sometimes I do hear comments saying they ruin their lives, they don't know what's going on. And to me, that really brings us down because we're both at it really hard. I graduated in 2014 from Bernalillo High School, and my girlfriend recently graduated from Bernalillo High School as well. I currently have worked my position up to, I work at a bank at Wells Fargo, and she's currently going to Pima. So in my opinion, being a young parent, it is hard, but anything can be achieved. I mean, anything, literally work, school, there's nothing that's impossible. You just really have to put your mindset to it and always focus and remember that you're raising another person. It's not something easy, but it's something that can be done.
Yeah. Sergio, who's kind of helping you out, talking to you when you're feeling down, when you're feeling like, you know, you're having some of those struggles? Who's there to support you?
You know, I have a lot of people that support me, very, very lot of support. I actually attended the New Mexico grads in Bernalillo High School with Miss Rebecca Cost, as well as Johnny. I met Johnny a couple months ago. He has been a great support and help. You know, there's times that I've had, like you say, like we were talking about earlier, or you guys were talking about earlier, the image of some parents thinking that the guy's going to leave, he's not going to stick with it, he's going to leave the girl being pregnant and not stick around to help out. I think that's an image that damages a lot of young men because it's an image that's already out there, but not all of us do it. Some of us actually stick to it and being part of a family. I've struggled through that a lot. In-laws have been not a problem, but issues with them on showing me support that I can do it. And basically back to the question, Johnny has been one of my biggest supporters and has always helped me. My mom and my dad have always supported me to the 100. They have never let me down in any times of struggle. They try and coach me and show me a little bit. But the thing that I like from all the support that I have is that they help me make my own decisions. They don't tell me what to do, but kind of guide me and show me to what direction to turn to.
Sergio, thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Today we're talking about young parents, young moms and dads in New Mexico. And we want to hear from you. Is there something you want to add? Were you a young parent yourself? Or do you have a child or grandchild who's having a baby at a young age? What kinds of conversations are you having right now? Join us by calling 277-5866 or 866-899-5866. Or find us on Facebook by searching for KUNM Radio. Last week on New Mexico PBS, we devoted a full hour to teen pregnancy on New Mexico in Focus. We had State Representative Georgine Lewis with us to talk about her experience as a teen mom. She also said that having support from her parents was really important for her to finish school on time, go to college, go on to law school. Representative Lewis told us she'd like to see a shift in attitudes about teen parents. She also spoke about legislation that she supported in 2013 to create a statewide policy for excused absences for pregnant and parenting students.
I stood up on the House floor. I was a freshman during the time, and I did inform my colleagues that I was supporting the bill. And one of the reasons was that for one semester, I attended New Futures High School because I was afraid of missing all of my classes and not being able to make up the assignments. So being that I was living in Atcom at the time, I traveled 2 hours every single day to attend high school while I was pregnant and shortly after I gave birth to my daughter. So this is really an important issue, and it shows the impact that it has, because as soon as you have access to education, that's when you start doing better for yourself. And unfortunately, you know, we did see some House members stand up and say that teen parents were being rewarded for absences. So I think the discussion and those ideas that people have to, be changed, because again, it's a reality. And mm-hmm. instead of shaming, we need to help our teen parents.
Today with us, we have Mary Louise Cudi. She's Grad Plus Grant Coordinator with New Mexico Grads, and Denicia Cadena, Policy and Cultural Strategy Director at Young Women United. Also, Johnny Wilson, Regional Coordinator of Young Fathers in Santa Fe. Mary Louise, I want to go to you. We just heard from Representative Lewis about that a law that was signed in 2013. NM grads worked on that. Oh, why is that policy important? It sounds like excused absences is really simple. It's a simple thing. Does it really make a difference?
Absolutely. Up until that point, New Mexico is the only state in the nation who has this written into legislation now. And this provides for a bare sort of a platform of what needs to at least be provided to students who are missing school due to the birth of a child, the documented birth of a child, and also for young mothers and fathers to be able to continue parenting while continuing their education. This is critical. We want to support young people in their educational goals, whatever they might look like, and it is very difficult to do that if we don't have a strong legislative policy in place. And Title IX also protects our young mothers and fathers in school, and so New Mexico has taken it a step further, and Young Women United was just critical. Denicia, I'm sure, can speak on that in House Bill 300 in the passing of this legislation.
Denicia, why was that bill important to your members?
So we went across the state talking to young parents in a collaboration with the ACLU of New Mexico and really asking them what truly impacts their lives. And we heard from young parents across the state telling us that they didn't have a policy. So while certain teachers would really step up and make sure they had all their makeup work and all these different things, that other young people were being forced out of school, that not being given makeup work, if a child had an earache and they had to take their child to the doctor, that they would get an unexcused absence. And that was leading young people in the schools to drop out. And what we know is that when people, when young people have access to resources, they're really able to succeed. Our graduation rates across New Mexico, particularly for young people of color, are really abhorrent. They're in, the 50% range. But what we've seen with the grads program is graduation rates over 80%. So this bill was really critical to us and young families, because we know when people have access to those resources, they are able to thrive. And this allows young parents to balance their responsibilities as parents and students.
And Representative Lewis also mentioned, other lawmakers standing up and saying teen parents shouldn't get special treatment. You can hear, you hear people say there need to be consequences in order to discourage teens from having babies. What's your response to that?
Well, what we know is that these teen pregnancy prevention models that shame and blame young families don't work. New Mexico continues to have the highest rates of teen pregnancy, and that only serves to push young families away from access to resources they may need. And, I truly believe that in the state of New Mexico, we should all be invested in every single young person being able to graduate from high school. And this law just allows them to balance those responsibilities as parents and students.
And can I also just mention, too, that I think when we look at teen pregnancy prevention and we look at supporting young families, they are intersectional, but they're not synonymous. And it is really important that the framework that we present when we talk about providing information and resources to young people should not come at the expense of shaming young mothers and fathers who are parenting their children, and the measures of success that we have look very different. For some children and young people, measures of success might be high school graduation with their graduating class. And for some people, it might be, you know, I need to make it to school every day this week. And so we need to be very mindful and respectful that there is no one way fits all. And in no way does shaming what they are doing and working hard to do help in teen pregnancy prevention. You know, nationally the rate is lower, and that's not from shame or stigma. That's from more resources readily available for young people.
Johnny, you're shaking your head as well.
She's Mary Louise is absolutely right. For example, the rates of teen pregnancy and all planned pregnancies are far better in Europe. And why is that? There's been tours, there's been studies. We know that they approach sexual health education not from a shaming and blaming, finger pointing, we expect you to behave in a specific sort of way type of approach, but because it's information that's provided. It's health is talked about. People are allowed to make their own decisions. GLBT people are included in the discussion. And, you know, here in this country, we're only now starting to get these ideas and still are, you know, frankly, our schools resist them. You know, we had a gentleman from CareNet call earlier. That's great. He's got services he wants to talk about. But the fact is that they are starting from a place of judgment. You need to make if you want to be welcome there, then you abortion is not on the table. Right. They're an overtly anti-choice organization. Great, if they provide services that to folks that are down with their position, but that's not the way we can approach these questions. And the same with sexual health education is the same with helping young families. And it really doesn't matter what age. It doesn't matter if they're 25. I haven't met any parents that don't start with the discussion of parenthood with the phrase, I can't believe what this is, I wasn't ready.
We're going to go to a break now. We'll take your calls in just a moment. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. You can join us by calling 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, 866-899-5866.
Bring four or more from your group to answer phones during our fundraiser starting October 17th and get a gift certificate toward announcements on KUNM. Video training provided. Call now to reserve a shift, 277-4516.
A lot recently about how to boost Albuquerque's economy. One simple way might be to merely slow down our downtown traffic, making it safer to walk, thereby encouraging more pedestrians and more shopping. This week on New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas, host Stephen Spitz talks to Jeff Speck, author of the book Walkable Cities, and a study on how to improve Albuquerque's downtown. This Friday morning at 8, right here on 89.9 KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Our focus today is young parenthood. Join us by calling 277-5866. I'd like to now bring in Liz in Albuquerque. Liz, what do you want to add?
Hold on.
Liz, are you there? Hello?
Hi, sorry about that. Yes, I'm here. I wanted to just bring up the issue of legal services and legal education for young parents because it's something that often gets left out of the picture. Young parents need help to establish parentage, custody, time-sharing, child support, and they lack accurate information about what rights and duties they have relative to their child. They become mired in conflict over the child, and that conflict interferes with their ability to focus on the other important things, such as the things your guests are talking about, health education and the health and education of their young children.
And so where can folks, young folks go to get resources, to get information on that?
Well, in Albuquerque, Central New Mexico, the organization I work for, Pegasus Legal Services for Children, provides those services. And we provide those services around the state. We work with grads and go around the state and talk to the kids at the grads programs all over the state. But the bottom line is that there are not enough legal services, particularly in the area of family law, for teen parents and for adult parents as well. But even just education, even them knowing that, for instance, the other parent can't just go to court like they've threatened to do, and, oh, I'm going to take the child away from you. Or one parent, the mother, thinks, I can get sole legal custody just because I'm the mom. Those kinds of things tend to keep them. Sometimes parents are unable to have contact with their children for long periods of time, or they live in fear that their child is going to be taken away from them.
Liz, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate you adding that perspective on legal issues to the conversation. Well, let's go now to Emily in Santa Fe. Emily, what's your comment?
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, Emily, is there a particular issue that you'd like to raise on the issue of young parents in New Mexico?
Yes, I would. I work with young parents in Santa Fe, and I think it's so wonderful. First of all, I just want to say thank you for having this show. Just all of the issues you're raising are very important, and I just want to point out two things. One, like so many guests have said, it's not about an individual failing on the part of these young parents. It's primarily a failing of the community if they didn't have people who are willing and able to talk to them about safe sex, or parents who were communicative and present. And the second thing I want to bring up is housing. It's really, really crucial if you're going to provide a safe environment for your child to have stable housing, and that's something that I see a lack of, not just in our community, but throughout the state. And if we want to bring resources to these kids, that's great. We want to talk about services and support and preventative health. That's wonderful, but they need to be housed. Yeah. That's an issue I see across the board for all my clients. It is a constant struggle just to find housing for young parents. So I think that really needs to be part of the conversation. A lot of people might have that support through their parents, but a lot of people don't. So I just think it's important to mention.
And Emily, when you say housing, do you mean like an affordable apartment for a young person who has a child?
Yeah, or transitional living programs. Like, there's no maternal focused housing in Santa Fe. And we get a ton of people from other rural communities, you know, that come into the city for services, but then they have nowhere to live. And that's really, really difficult. And if you're under 18, the services you receive are different than if you're over 18. But a lot of our kids are, you know, between like 16 to 21. And that's a gap that's just really not being met.
Emily, thanks for bringing that up to our attention today. We appreciate your call. Let's go now to Carol in Albuquerque. Carol, what do you want to share with us?
Yes, I am a retired high school teacher, and I would like to address the question of the stigma. And I do agree completely with all the people who have called in that it can be so damaging and so negative and so difficult. And I was wondering if we ought to rethink that and try to fight and completely get rid of it. And then I think about how I would feel if I looked out at my class and all the girls sitting in my room were pregnant. And I think, no, that's not a good alternative either. So I don't know where we can strike a middle ground where we can be compassionate and yet at the same time have some kind of understanding of the damage that this does to society. And that's my comment.
Thanks for calling today, Carol. Let's go now to Grace in Albuquerque. Grace, what do you want to share?
Hi, I was a teen mom. I'm in my 20s now, and my son is in second grade. And my experience was that there hasn't been resources for any sort of postpartum depression or anxiety. And I think that plays a large role, and it kind of goes hand in hand with being the shame that you experience as a teen parent. And I think one of the people on the show earlier was talking about how this stigma has continued into her 30s, and people associate the success of her children with her age. And I've experienced that too, even just in elementary school. And I think it's very damaging to have it be so continuous. There's no break from it. It's like, oh, you're a young parent. I'm the youngest parent on the PTA, and I'm just receiving looks all the time. And I think the shame thing is so critical that it has to be eliminated. And we have to start approaching sexual health as a comprehensive issue, even now, my son, he knows, we started very young just with age-appropriate exercises to where he understood that his body was autonomous and his own. And it's not mine to control, and he needs to understand everything there is to learn about it. And I think we're still not doing that with kids. We have, you know, one sex ed class throughout their whole education. And I think that's a big problem, too.
Grace, thanks for calling today. We appreciate you sharing your personal story. Mary Louise Kuti with NM Grads, you're also the co-founder of a national campaign, No Teen Shame. Why are you using social media to talk about this issue of stigma and shame around teen parenthood?
Well, No Teen Shame, there's myself and six other moms around the nation, and we use social media. Our presence is virtual, and it's very, very out there. And the campaign was started to address the Candies Foundation. There were negative print campaigns. There's negative print campaigns and posters. And one example of an advertisement for teen pregnancy prevention was, "You're supposed to be changing the world, not diapers." And we just, as all of us were young mothers ourselves and still identify as young mothers even in our 20s and 30s, you know, we realize that we need to be the voice against harmful campaigns, and we want to bring youth to the table, to bring strategies to develop media that is helpful in preventing teen pregnancy, but is also helpful in supporting young parents, is not shaming. And we realize that young families who are experiencing their parenthood at whatever age they're at and stage deserve the right to speak on their own behalf and to educate other people in the community and nation. And social media is a really great way for us to all stay connected and also to reframe the negative campaigns that are out there and have discussions at a national level to include other organizations and allies that are working to support and that are looking to learn how to support young families.
Johnny Wilson from Young Fathers of Santa Fe. Just a moment ago, we had two callers talking about stigma. And they had kind of different perspectives. And Carol, as a retired teacher, was talking about, you know, that issue of not shaming young people, but not, you know, are we celebrating young parenthood?
Right. Yeah, Carol's concern really nicely articulated what I hear a lot in the community, which is, you know, that's great. We want to support these families. Super. But if we support them, are we going to risk increasing the teen pregnancy rate? And the short answer to that question is no. By and large, teens choose not to be pregnant. And as Mary Louise pointed out, I think it was earlier, teens have the same failure rate in terms of their intention with regards to pregnancy as adults do. So are we going to blame the teens for that? When we're as adults, we don't do it any better? That doesn't make sense. And celebrating young families and helping and supporting young families does not lead to increased rates of teen pregnancy.
Denicia Cadena from Young Women United, I'd like to also hear your thoughts on that as well.
Sure. So that's certainly something that came up when we're advocating for this bill. You know, will it further increase young parents? And what we know is that young people need access, as the caller mentioned earlier, to medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education across their lifetimes, that people need to know different information to keep themselves and their bodies healthy, to have healthy relationships and make good decisions for their lives, but that we don't have to have models of sex ed or education that shame young families, because, you know, that's what we've been trying for the past 20, 30 years, and it's not impacting anything in New Mexico. And so, you know, in supporting young families and making sure they have a chance to finish high school, to go on to college or start meaningful careers, it's only a step in supporting those families and making sure they have access to the resources they need.
Are there other policy changes that you're advocating for at the state level?
We have been working with school districts across New Mexico to implement this policy. It was passed in 2013, but school districts are still figuring out the implementation and how to support young families
It's critical that our state keep funding levels for the New Mexico grads program. You know, I talked about their incredible graduation rates earlier, and it's absolutely necessary that we keep those. And, you know, as we continue forward in these policy efforts, we want to make sure that they're absolutely informed by young parents and that those resources are there to support young families.
And Mary Louise from New Mexico grads, what gives you hope about the future for young parents in New Mexico?
Young parents in New Mexico are very fortunate. New Mexico is a rural state, and New Mexico, because of our, our population and our sparse, our vast land and distance between things, we're very lucky that we have community organizations that are very grassroots. We have legislators in our government who are activists to support young families, and we have a system that is one of the top in the nation and only in the nation, our collaboration with the public education department and organizations like Young Women United and Young Father Santa Fe program. And it's the young people in New Mexico who are able to be connected through services and strong community collaborations. We don't see that often other places. We have to be tight-knit and close. And I think we realize this, and I think New Mexico is eager to change the language, and I think it's necessary, and I'm really proud to be able to work with New Mexico grads and No Teen Shame and these organizations to do that. And New Mexico, I think, is paving a lot of paths in the nation to really change some of that language and you know, our legislative policy, and that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning.
Johnny, I'll have you answer that one as well.
Wow. Here's the news flash. Young fathers across the board want to be fathers. And, you know, we have a lot of people that in our communities that don't expect that to be true. And when the young fathers step up, and like Sergio, who called earlier, and show that they're dedicated, that they really want to be a good dad, and that they can do it. That's what gives me hope for these young families today, and, you know, for people to see that, for people to recognize these young men as stepping up and doing their best, and that their best is a good job.
And Denicia from Young Women United, I'll let you answer that question as well as our final comment for the hour.
Yeah, so we just really need to make sure that we're building a state and communities where young families are valued and feel like they have a future, and that we build the policies and mechanisms to make that a reality.
Thank you all for joining us today. Thanks to everyone who called in. I'd also like to thank Mary Louise Cooty, Jen Robinson, Denicia Cadena, and Johnny Wilson. Elaine Baumgartel is the executive producer. Jefferson White is the engineer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls today. And I'm Sarah Gustavus, your host. I'm also the producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS. We'll put up links to all the organizations we spoke to today on our website. Go search for the KUNM call-in show page. This is KUNM.